Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
I want to continue. You know what? I'm really happy just to sit on this one for another few weeks because I kind of feel this is what the Lord has sent to us. And the reason why I believe this is what the Lord has sent to us is, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I need visual representation. I need to have something that I can see with my eyes to remind me of what is really important. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's the way that it works. Because actually, the whole thing that we have been talking about is about seeing Jesus revealed, and having Jesus at the center. And I'm going to take today very, very simply. I started to speak last week about the high priest. I'm going to continue on that today and finish it next week, actually. But what I want to encourage you is there are so many things that you put your eyes to during the week, so many things that get your attention and get your focus, that pull you away from this central truth of having Jesus at the center of your life, things that vie for your attention, things that jump, and because that what we see visually is very, very powerful. And so there is what we're going to talk about today, there is no accident, okay, to what God describes in the book of Exodus and what we see in the temple and in the tabernacle. In both of those things. God didn't do it by accident. It's not like he was some kind of cosmic, what did you call your man? Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, you know, some sort of, okay, let's just design this and have it this way and because I need to fill spaces in my book. You know, that's not what it's about. The Lord was very particular about what was written as a picture and as a type of Jesus. It is all about him. From Genesis 1 through to Revelation 22, it is all about him. It all points to him. It's all centered around him. There is nothing else in this meta-narrative, in the big narrative of this book, other than what God would do to step into our world through his son Jesus to bring us back to him. Amen? And so if you're really smart, you build your life around Jesus at the center because that's God's purpose. So I don't know if you've ever thought about that. If you're building around anything else or if you have what we've described in Ephesians 1 as the church on the edge. Because the church, the gathering of God's people with Jesus at the center, represented in the tabernacle, okay, in the days of David, he said it was prophesied that in the last days God would restore that. Remember all that bit from the first few weeks? At this stage, there's far too much to go over, all right? So I just have to give you the big context. But what I really want to talk to you about today is something that is super important because it's what robs God's people of being able to receive. And it's what happens whenever the rubber really hits the road. What do you do? Or now, I know as believers, we're all going to go, oh, brother, I'm saving in the meeting, and so it's easy for me. But what do you do whenever you truly screw it up? And I'm not talking about the biggies, okay? I'm not talking about murdering people and, you know, all that sort of stuff, although I mean, looking at some of you, I know, can see you've thought about it. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how secure are you really with Jesus? And you will go, oh, yes, absolutely secure. And then I'll probably, if I was to poke you and challenge you around that, I'll go, really? Well, show me your life and show me the decisions that you make, particularly the decisions that you make when you're under pressure. Let that one sit. Because that is how the enemy robs the people of God today. That's how he robs you and I. He constantly plays on insecurity about the goodness of God. And what he does is he reminds us, normally visually by what we can see and what we experience, actually he picks at the edges, all right, of the central truth of, is God really good all the time? Do you understand that? And that insecurity, we talk about eternally secure, and I'm going to talk about that today, to go, actually, it was written in, you know, this whole, we used to have these arguments when I was young and stupid. You know, and thank God Twitter wasn't around whenever I was a kid, or I probably would have been arrested. All right, because we used to argue about, you know, eternal salvation. How do you know that you're secure forever? Yeah? How do you know that? I mean, how do you know that when you get to the big pearly gates of glory, that's St. whoever it is? Who is it? St. He's not going to turn around and go, oh, you're not in here, bug off, you're not getting in. And we used to argue backwards and forward about that. And what I thought was, you know, I've got plenty of time to worry about that when I die. All right, I'm not going to worry about it right now. Because actually, it's not so much those ethereal things up there that keep us up at night. We know that we know. You know, and you get to this stage where you kind of go, I am peaceful about what happens. But the insecurity is actually how you live today. That's the difficulty. And we can sort of get to the stage in our minds where we go, yeah, well, out there, I don't really know, because it doesn't really affect today, but I want to pull it back a little bit and go, how secure are you right now in God's love for you? Because when the pressure comes, do you just go back to type and go, I'm my provider because I can't really trust him? Is that what happens when you have money pressure? Or when you start to feel something in your body, does it all go completely out the window and it's panic stations? And almost like Jesus on the periphery of your world and not at the center of it? To go, what does he say? Not what does everyone else say first? Do you get that? Because what we're going to see today is from the very beginning of this, whenever God was designing the people of God, how they would relate to him and have this tabernacle, he wanted you to see from the very beginning that you are safe forever. And forever means today. Not just away out there in the twilight zone, but right here now. And let me tell you why that matters to you, that's something that radically changes your heart. It's because in that place, you're able to receive fullness and get yourself out of that place where you go back to self-reliance and self-justification. Do you get that? Because it's in those moments of, am I really secure in the love of God? That shows you whether or not you're going to receive or whether or not you're going to just put yourself back under law and not receive. And I think for many times I experience this myself. I go, yeah, God, I know that you love me. I know that that's what you do and et cetera, et cetera. But then on a Tuesday when I'm not in church or not around people from church and I get a phone call or an email or I look at my bank balance or whatever, and all of a sudden then you feel it. And it's like, oh, what do I do in those moments? It's those moments where we're either secure or we deal in insecurity. And actually the Lord shows us that he wants you, when you're secure, you'll receive. Because you know it's not about you, it's about him. And he wants to continually remind you of that. He wants you to every which way you look to see Jesus. And that's why we've been talking every week about how everything points and looks to Jesus. And so my challenge to you is this, is what are you going to put your eyes to? You know, what are you going to put your eyes to? Because when the people looked at their representative before God, what we understand now, although they didn't say it, was everything screamed about the one who was to come. And now we, when he was concealed there, he's revealed to us in the covenant of grace, and we get to walk in the fullness thereof. Do you understand? So what was the representation and what does it mean to you? In Exodus 28:29, remember last week I talked about no sweat, you're righteous, how the underneath everything, the priest is dressed in linen, and it wasn't that the sort of linen we have today, it was really expensive stuff. Because it kept you cool when it was hot, and it kept you warm when it was ever the other opposite, cold. Yeah. And the thing about, I always get those things mixed up, so bear with me. And so there was this sense of, at the very closest thing to us, everything comes from a place of rest. And the Lord said, dress in linen because there will be no sweat whenever you're working. He didn't want his priests to dress in wool, which would cause them to sweat so that they could say, by the sweat of my brow, I am causing this. It was actually, the Lord said, no, it will always be reflecting me. And so that's why he told them to wear linen. Then they put, that was on top, remember this? The ketanet. This is what Jesus was dressed in, okay? At the cross, I talked about that. And then over that, they have the ephod or the tekhelet. It's a blue garment, and I'm going to show you that in 1 second. And so in Exodus 28:29, now on top of the, remember blue, what does blue describe? What's the royalty, okay? Always about royalty. So whenever you have the blue mixed with the red, it becomes purple. So blue, royalty, completeness, mixed with the red, Adama or Adamin in Hebrew. When you mix those two together, it becomes purple, the color of royalty. So blue always speaks of God in his royalty. So you need to keep that in your head because on top of righteousness, white, they put a blue linen, what's called the ephod. And I want to talk today about what was on top of that. Because it's wonderful. It's so clear about how he loves you and how secure he wants you to be. He wants you to be secure. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart. when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord. So what we're going to look at today is shoulders and chest, all right? And what this is, if we flick up the next slide, the photo for me, please, Paul. Okay, so this is what it looked like. It was 9 inches square. And I'm going to start on the shoulders because there's something really cool about this. Because where I want to start is this. It is never the Holy Spirit's job. It's never God's job to condemn you. And even in the very beginning, just let me say this, and most of you will have heard me preach this before, but it's really important. Because what we see here is a visual representation of what the Holy Spirit's job would be whenever Jesus would go back to heaven. All right? And in John 16, 8 to 10, Jesus said this. Whenever the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, and of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. You see, the Lord never wants you to feel bad. He never wants you to feel somehow less. He never wants you to feel condemned or guilty. The Lord will never tell you that you have fallen short. And Jesus doesn't hurl insults at you or plant thoughts of condemnation in your head or in your heart. Condemnation is never from God. Do I get an amen for that? Okay, that's really important. Now, if you read very carefully, what you see is the Holy Spirit has two functions. And this is where, as believers, we need to be really clear on this. He says that he will convict the world of sin, and then it says, and of righteousness. But keep reading down. It says they will convict the world of sin. Why? On this hand, because they don't believe in me. So when the Holy Spirit is dealing with a non-believer, he convicts them of what is wrong and points them to Jesus. And then he says, later in the verse, because judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness on this hand, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. And so what he says is this, and this sets up what we see on the breastplate and on the onyx shoulders. What it sets up is this absolute truth, is that Jesus always, in your life today as a believer, always, always points you to the fact that you are safe, you are secure, and that you are loved. He never condemns you for sin, ever, okay? Because that is not his role. He convicts the world of sin because they don't know him, and he convicts us of righteousness because he had to go away. That's why he then describes, it's better that I go, because you cannot look physically into the eyes of Jesus today. You need the Spirit of God to convict you, to tell you that you are totally acceptable to him. God himself living in you. And we need to be reminded all the time that we have right standing with God because of what Jesus did. I don't know about you, but most of us are more acutely aware, aren't we, of sin? More acutely aware of where we get it wrong and how we mess up. And I don't need to be reminded of it. Do you know that? I don't need the Lord to come along and go, do you know what? Too good. You eat it. What was going on there? I know better. Sometimes I think I know better than he does. You get me? What my shortcomings are. And thank God he doesn't do it. Isn't that good news? Okay, it is good news this morning. You go, thank you, all right, that you do, even though you're no longer physically present with me, and you can't look into his eyes physically, but I have that assurance that your job will never be to make me guilty or to remind me of my sin. Because as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed that from us. So he wants you to see this represented in this work, okay? And so what does he do? Well, go back to the picture, please, Paul. What we see here is whenever God sees you, this is what he looks at. This is what was going on. This is why, on top of royalty, if you notice that everything is built on righteousness, it's built on God's royalty, it's built on blue, and then he puts this, the piece of cloth was actually woven from the three colors that I've talked about, blue, red, and scarlet. And so essentially these stones then were sat into this 9-inch square piece of cloth that was woven and was the basis of royalty. Now the breastplate of judgment is a very clear, this is what it was called, the breastplate of judgment. It's a very clear picture of what he sees whenever he looks at you today. It's awesome. Now it hopefully will put your heart and mind at rest about how does he love you even when you mess up. Because there's 12 precious stones. They're mounted on it. There was one stone for each tribe. And then what happened was on the priest's shoulders, you can just see there were two onyx stones. And each of these stones were set in gold, okay? So they were placed on gold. What? Tell me again what gold means. Divinity, it's the work of Christ. It's divine work. With gold, there's nothing of humanness in it. So these stones were set in gold, and then they were placed on the shoulders. And the gems that were used, they're described in the Bible as being the finest quality, almost priceless. You couldn't put a value on these stones. Now, where did they come from? It was interesting. When Phil was speaking, he told us about how whenever they made the silver stands for the boards in the temple, okay, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, where you stand in righteousness, that it was the money that they brought for their temple offerings. All of these stones, okay, were taken from Egypt. Whenever the people of Israel left Egypt, what we're told in the Word is that every single bit of gold, fine furnishings, precious metals, all the gems were given to them by their captors. And so there's a picture here of from a place of slavery and from a place of death, from a place of defeat, God will take something out of that and make it something beautiful. Okay? They didn't create the stones themselves or find them themselves. It was given to them by those that held them captive. Do you get that? The Lord's not finished with your life. I have to go real quick because there's so much in these things. But what it says is this, is that you may feel, okay, that you're still in Egypt, but the Lord says, no, I've taken you out of that and I've made you something beautiful. Okay? Do you get that? And so that's where all of these stones came from. It was loot or bounty or whatever way you want to put it. I mean, quite literally, they leave the land of slavery and God takes the wealth of the world. Egypt's a picture of the world. And it's thrown back at their feet, all right? And God takes that, and he's going to use it as a representation for you and for me about how we stand secure today with Jesus. That's good. So let me get right into it. So let me talk about these two onyx stones. See the ones on the guy's shoulder here? They were absolutely brilliant stones. They were skillfully placed in gold on the high priest's shoulders. And it's not the kind of onyx we have today. It was a different kind. It was precious and priceless, actually. And whenever there was light put onto these stones, they would have lit brilliantly. That was the whole point. They were cut so well. Now, on each, there's a difference between these stones and these ones, but on these shoulders, the names of all the tribes of Israel were engraved in birth order. It's important. So we have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, etc. You know what they are. And all of the names were carved, identically sized, six on each shoulder. And they were set on the high priest's shoulders. And this is the typology that God wants you to know is, number one, the reason why it was done from birth order was to say from the youngest to the oldest, you're all the same. Everyone before the Lord is identical. See, what happened was they were told to camp according to size. And, you know, I've showed you that, how they camped. But when it came to how because remember, the priest would stand in the presence of God. The priest would go before the whole nation and would go into that place, and he would be bearing on his shoulders the weight of the whole nation. You get that? And what it tells us today is this, is where you stand secure is because you are not bearing the weight of any of the work. Shoulders talk about authority. Shoulders talk about bearing the weight. And what it says is from the youngest to the oldest, every single one, the same before me, your weight is on my shoulders, and I stand before God himself, Jesus the high priest, with you, and I am carrying you first and foremost on my shoulders. Isn't that good? What is it that's bothering you? What is it that you're carrying? What is it where you've thought, well, because of who I am and my position that I cannot receive? Because the Lord says, actually, look at the priest. He's standing in my presence, and it's all on him. Isn't that good? Listen, don't carry any weight yourself. That's the point. The point is this, that what he's trying to say is, actually, I mean, it's so clear, isn't it? That it's actually an eternal thing. I'm going to come to that in 1 minute. That all believers, from the newest to the most seasoned, are equally precious and equally complete. Nobody left out. And you know what they did? They engraved the names on the stones. They didn't write them. If things were written, they could be rubbed off or taken out. But what actually we see here is that the Lord said, engrave those names, because engraving them stands for eternity. They're not going to be removed. Can I just say to you, if you are in relationship with Jesus today, your name will never be removed from the big list of people who are in his family. Never. Do you know why? Because before God, the judge, because this is the breastplate of judgment, before God, the judge, when he looks, this is what the Lord wants to see. When God looked at the priest and he saw this, all the names and all the weight were written on his shoulders, not on yours. Isn't that fantastic? Can anyone hear a noise, or is that just in my head? Okay, because I was thinking, am I going slightly mental here this morning? Because that's good. And you know what that means for me? Time, on my journey, what I'm continually learning more and more is to how to get the weight off of me and onto him. How to let him carry so that I can rest. How to let him take over whenever I feel tired. When I think about my future, when I think about my children, when I think about my financial, when I think about this and the other, to go, Lord, that feels so flipping heavy at times. And when I'm not secure in his love, when I feel like that he is pointing out what's wrong with me, it breeds insecurity in me. But he goes, no, look, this high priest representing Jesus, the high priest, okay? And then we become all priests in that line. I talked about that last week. But everything's on his shoulders. It's not on yours. How different would your life be if whenever you started to feel that during the week, you stopped and you went, actually, Lord, I need to get this off my shoulders and onto yours. Because I can't stand before God in the presence of God and bring anything. Because you've already engraved my name and said it was my work for you. Just to go, so I don't stop. So I stop myself from repeating the same things over and over again. Repeating the same mistakes of carrying. Repeat those same mistakes of bringing weight. Just get my head down. Just to go, no. I am so secure. It's about strength. It's also about authority. The other thing is shoulders speak of authority in the Bible. And so there's a thought. I don't have time to go into it today. It's like everyone who is in Christ with their names engraved on his shoulders, okay, everyone has equal access to his authority. That's what that means. But just have a look down just beneath it, because what you see is that these things were attached to the breastplate was attached to the shoulders to the ephod, and there was two golden braids that attached them. And the Lord actually writes this. Every little detail, this is bonkers. But he said, put two golden braids, double twist them for strength, and attach these names to the breastplate of judgment. And it actually is a picture of Jesus that he actually speaks in the New Testament, because it's the Holy Spirit showing you again that you are securely fastened to your high priest. Do you get that? You're securely and eternally fastened to Jesus himself. Gold always speaking of divine work. Nothing of humanness in it. You're not attached to God because of anything that you do. You're not attached to Jesus because you're good. You're not attached to Jesus because you're saving in the meeting 20 years. You're not attached to Jesus because you do better than the person beside you. You're on his shoulders because he decided it. Because he chose you, because he loves you. And all of a sudden we go, oh, thank God. And what he wants you to know is that you're doubly secure. Okay? Because whenever we see in John 10:27, Jesus actually showed us what these two braids are. He said these verses. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither, listen, shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So no one's able to snatch them out of my hand, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, because I and my Father are one. See how Jesus was simply referring back to what the Lord had given a visual representation of all those years before. He wants you to know that you are doubly secure. That's a good word, folks. You are safe and secure this morning. You are attached, and what's it attached to? It's attached to the work of God, the royalty of God. And it's his work that keeps you absolutely secure. So the first gold braid is, they'll never be snatched out of my hand, said Jesus. The second gold braid was, you'll never snatch them out of my Father's hand. I absolutely love that this morning. And you know, if I was to stop here to go, how are you really doing with that? Where's your heart really with that? Because even in that truth alone, we could sit and we could really do some work with the Lord to go, what is it in my life where I see myself snatching myself out of your work and then for making decisions again about taking weight onto my shoulders? I mean, how are you really doing with that? Because what the Lord has been showing me time and time again as I prepared this series and I've been thinking about it is every which way I turn, if I do not get reminded of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for me, something else is going to take that place. Something else. It will be something else. And so I have to continually look and be reminded that not only am I righteous, not only am I royal, not only am I royal, but I am absolutely anchored and attached to his work. And because of that, his promise is, you'll never be snatched out of my hand. And that's not just for eternity, that's for today. That's why this week you can say with all hope, I am favored, I am blessed, I am righteous, I am totally acceptable to God, and he has anchored me in, and he's never going to let go. And in that, I go, well, if it's you holding me, if it's you doing the work, well, thank God. My mess doesn't really matter. My insecurity doesn't really matter because you're the one who's holding me. Isn't that a lovely picture of the two braids? Let's just go down a little bit further and have a look at the stones on the breastplate. Now, what's interesting here, on the shoulders, where God carries you and you stand on his shoulders in the presence of the judge, okay? And he says you're righteous. Actually, what goes down here is each of these 12 stones represents one of the tribes of Israel. And what's interesting here is that they were put into not birth order, like we see on the shoulders, but these were actually put into the order of encampment, and it's pretty significant. Now, what's really, this is lovely. I absolutely love this, because this is judgment, okay? This was called the breastplate of judgment. And what it means is this, these stones that were taken from Egypt, all right, they were all equally sized. They were individual gems, different kinds, and they were all unique in different ways. I don't have time to go through them all because it's lovely, but it's more kind of, that's nice to know as opposed to, can I actually pull something from it? Now, what the Lord said is put these gems over the priest's heart when you read the further instructions as to how this was to be done. Now, what happens is this. It's a picture today to go, as an individual, God absolutely loves you. Now, where does he carry you in the presence of God himself? Jesus carries you on his heart. That's really important because it speaks of a depth of love and a way of loving, which actually will revolutionize and change how you relate to him. He carries you in his heart. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of knowing you, your uniqueness and your individuality. But he doesn't put you in his pocket and hide you away, all right? He doesn't, you know, kind of hold you just in his hand, although we use that. Actually, the place that you hold is right in the heart of Jesus himself. Isn't that lovely? There's much, a wee bit more to it than that, actually. He loves you. He knows you. He calls you. He sees you as precious. He sees you as a priceless gem. He sees you as beautifully perfect, complete in Christ, all right? But what we need to know is that I find it quite a soft way to describe how he loves. Lord, you carry me in your heart. Do you know what it's like for your own kids or the people who are around you, your husband's, wife's, partner, whatever it happens to be, okay? That special place that they hold, and that we would say they have a bit of my heart, yeah? Clearly, I'm not in Sophie's heart at all. I'm so on the periphery of that world right now. But you get what I mean? It's like what the Lord wants to show you is not only is he carrying you on his shoulders, but actually he carries you in his heart as well. Because when he looks at you, it's with a deep, intense love. He sees your uniqueness. He sees your beauty. And he sees you just the same as everybody else. And when he looks, now let me just show you what he sees, because these were placed in order of encampment. And it's a prophecy of the end days. It's absolutely class. Because the first word, the first gem that's mentioned is what's called sardius. And we would call that today a ruby. It's red. And just like the onyx stones, the names of the tribes are carved into this, all right? Not just merely written on the surface, they're actually engraved and carved in. And the last stone, so the first stone is sardius, a ruby, and the last stone is jasper. It's a clear stone. Beginning and end. All right? You get that? They're topped and tailed this way. So jasper is like, it's either closely related to, we think, or it is actually a diamond, a type of diamond. Now, this is going to hopefully really encourage you. Why does God choose that? Why did he do that? Why does he choose gems? And why does he choose to set them into gold and put them into this order? Because there's a point of this, all those gems don't start off like that. The thing is that what he wanted to show is all these gems started off in dirt and muck. They had to be taken out, they had to be cleaned, and they had to be set this way. And so it was a picture of what the Lord would do with you and me. Whenever the priest would stand in a place of judgment, what the Lord would say is, actually, when I look at you, I'm not going to see you in the dirt and the muck from which you came, but I'm going to see you after the skillful hand of the jeweler has done his work. And you will always stand before me in that finished state, and not from the state from which you've come. Oh, somebody give me an amen. Every time he looks at you, he sees you perfect and completed and finished. Every single time. He doesn't see you from the ground, the muck of the earth, like Phil described, because you're now standing somewhere else. Every single time, because remember, this priest went into the presence of God. We all stand in the presence of God today. But it's like in the presence of God, in the place of judgment, what does he see? Perfect, complete, and set in divine work. Anchored on the shoulders of the one who did the work. Oh, that's a good word. Isn't that awesome? But even more, how does it tell us even more about Jesus? Because there's something here about, you can read about how when the light would touch these stones, what would happen. You could see how beautifully they had been cut, how well they had been sort of brilliantly chiseled away at. But here's the last thing I want to say today, is this, that whenever these stones were put onto this breastplate, ruby and diamond, remember that? Actually, jasper and sardius. It actually says in Revelation 4:13 that there is one today sitting, it's Jesus, on the throne of God, right? Whose appearance was like jasper and sardius. So what it says is this, okay? It's the final thing. It's not only in your beauty and in perfection and beauty does he see you, no mark or blemish, not mucked. But actually, Revelation 4:13 is a picture of Jesus in the end day sitting on the throne, right? And he's one who is like the ruby and the diamond, the beginning and the end. His appearance was that brilliant. So it's not only in that place does he see you as beautiful and complete, he sees you as Jesus is today. You get that? I'm going real slow, not because you're stupid, because I really want that to land. Some of you are stupid, but that's not, I just have to be real about it. Okay, it's an encouraging word right there. But I didn't say who was stupid, I just say some of you were. Thank you, I'm looking at Kyle. Okay. Do you understand that? See, it's one thing to go, yeah, he sees me as complete. He sees me as perfect. It's another thing to go that in Revelation 4:13 it says, there was one sitting on the throne of God whose appearance was like jasper and sardius stone. So on this breastplate, from the very beginning, was a prophetic picture of Jesus in his finished work. The ruby talks of the blood, starting with the blood and finishing with diamond, clear and perfect, with the light shining on it and reflecting brilliance. So what it tells me is, for eternity, all right? Because the throne of God is the eternal place, all right? When the work is complete, for eternity, when he looks at you, he sees you just like Jesus. In his glory, his beauty, his holiness, his perfection, as he is, so are you. Isn't it amazing that from the very beginning, this is what he showed us? From the very beginning, this is what he wanted us to know. That in the middle of the busyness, in the middle of life, in the middle of all the rest of it, he wanted you to know that actually in Christ, you would be in the presence of God, eternally safe forever, secure forever. In the hustle, bustle, and the everyday, to know that no matter when the eyes of God, Because this is what the eyes of God looked at. He looked at these stones when the high priest walked through. And what did he see? He saw names engraved, right, in a place of beauty and a place of perfection. And he said, put the stones in this order because that's what Jesus is going to be like in the last days. And those are the days that we live in today. Those are the days of Jesus right now. And so I need to tell you, if you can this week, start to slow down a little and just say, Lord, as you are, as Jesus is, so am I. And you don't see anything different than that. Isn't that lovely? That's how much he loves you. Whenever I feel judged, whenever I feel condemned, I have to stop and go, but he carries me on his heart. I'm in a special place with Jesus. He carries me on his heart. And because of that place, that I can fully receive. Isn't that incredible just in those pictures? I can fully receive. Now, I'm telling you, the more that we can understand that, not just in our heads, but as a revelation, truly, inside of us, from the inside out, then I think so many of the things that worry us and bother us and weigh us down will go. I think in that place of standing every day and saying, as you are, so am I. Because this shows us in beautiful technique, literally in beautiful technicolor, how he sees you today. Jesus prophesied it. You know, when he said, you'll not snatch him out of my hand or my father's. Me and my father are one. Look at it, absolutely right there. Those golden braids holding you. Anchoring you. You know, those were strong. I mean, that was proper stuff. It wasn't, you couldn't break it. That was the point. And every single day, as the Lord looks, that's all he sees. I love that. I remind myself of that this week as I thought about this talk. And I've made it real simple. I haven't put too much into it because I just thought, Lord, if we can get this truth to drop, that eternally secure, eternally means today, I'm secure and I'm safe. Forever anchored by the work of God. And from the beginning to the end, in that place, you carry me in your heart, just like you carry Jesus, and as he is, so am I. Isn't that a good word?